Ever found yourself staring at the ceiling at 3 a.m., haunted by a business idea you can't shake? You're not alone. Todd Connor's Third Shift Entrepreneur has become a beacon for the millions who dream of entrepreneurship but can't afford to risk it all. The book has garnered praise from business leaders like Damon John and has been featured in Forbes and Inc. magazine for challenging Silicon Valley's high-risk startup mythology. What makes Connor's approach revolutionary is its accessibility, especially for veterans, women, people of color, and others traditionally excluded from entrepreneurial ecosystems. As someone who built multiple successful ventures while maintaining financial stability, Connor offers a refreshingly practical roadmap that has helped thousands launch businesses without the drama of mortgaging their homes or emptying their savings accounts. The third shift refers to those precious hours most people waste, early mornings, late nights, weekends, when ordinary people sleep or binge Netflix while extraordinary ones build their futures. This isn't about superhuman talent, but extraordinary discipline. Third shift entrepreneurs don't quit their day jobs prematurely. They strategically use their stable income to fund their passion projects while minimizing risk. Connor dismantles the dangerous myth that entrepreneurship requires risking it all. This narrative has historically excluded those without substantial financial safety nets, particularly women and people of color who represent tiny fractions of venture-backed founders. The Silicon Valley model, with its emphasis on pitch decks and venture capital, simply doesn't apply to most real-world entrepreneurs. Instead, third shift entrepreneurs embrace a different path. They start small, test concepts with minimal investment, and grow organically through customer revenue rather than outside funding. They recognize that entrepreneurship isn't about dramatic gestures, but consistent, disciplined action taken during hours others waste. What makes this approach powerful is its accessibility. You don't need special connections, inherited wealth, or an MBA. You need determination to use your margins, those hours before work, after dinner, or on weekends, to build something meaningful. This democratizes entrepreneurship, making it available to anyone willing to sacrifice temporary comfort for long-term fulfillment. What makes this approach powerful is its accessibility. You don't need special connections, inherited wealth, or an MBA. You need determination to use your margins, those hours before work, after dinner, or on weekends, to build something meaningful. This democratizes entrepreneurship, making it available to anyone willing to sacrifice temporary comfort for long-term fulfillment. The philosophy isn't just practical, it's psychologically sound. By maintaining financial stability while pursuing your passion, you remove the desperation that often leads to poor business decisions. You can think clearly, pivot when necessary, and build something sustainable rather than rushing to generate cash flow at any cost. Have you ever wondered why so many great ideas never become businesses? It's rarely about the quality of the idea, but the approach to execution. The third shift methodology provides that missing structure. Successful entrepreneurship starts not with a business plan, but with obsession. What problem keeps you up at night? What topic sends you down 3-hour research rabbit holes? What conversation could you sustain for hours without checking your phone? These questions reveal your entrepreneurial North Star. Connor emphasizes that entrepreneurs must love the problem they're solving while remaining unattached to how they solve it. This distinction is crucial. When you fall in love with a specific solution rather than the underlying problem, you become blind to feedback and resistant to necessary pivots. The problem should be your constant, while your approach evolves based on market feedback. This principle explains why so many businesses fail despite founder passion. Imagine someone who loves baking opening a bakery without considering whether they enjoy managing staff, handling inventory, or dealing with retail customers. They've confused loving the activity, baking, with loving the business, running a bakery. True entrepreneurial passion focuses on solving a specific problem for specific people. Finding your entrepreneurial focus requires honest self-assessment. What unique combination of skills, experiences, and interests do you possess? Where do these intersect with market needs? The sweet spot lies at the intersection of what you love, what you're good at, and what people will pay for. Consider Matt's journey in the book. Despite outward success in finance, he felt hollow until reconnecting with his passion for outdoor activities and mentorship. By combining these with his financial expertise, he discovered his unique value proposition, connecting finance professionals through outdoor networking experiences. This wasn't just something he enjoyed, it addressed a real market need for meaningful professional connections outside traditional settings. The exercise of cataloging what you love isn't merely reflective, it's strategic. Your sustainable competitive advantage often emerges from authentic passion that competitors can't easily replicate. When you genuinely care about solving a problem, you'll outwork, outthink, and outlast those who entered the market solely for profit. What problem are you uniquely positioned to solve? What keeps pulling at your attention despite your attempts to ignore it? That persistent tug might be pointing toward your entrepreneurial purpose. One of the most counterintuitive yet powerful principles of third shift entrepreneurship is the concept of getting paid to learn. Rather than spending money up front on equipment, inventory, or formal education, successful entrepreneurs find ways to gain expertise while earning income, or at minimum, without spending their savings. Consider Yassel's approach to her coffee business. Instead of immediately securing loans for equipment and retail space, the traditional path that creates immediate financial pressure, she worked part-time at an established coffee shop. For 3 months, she learned roasting techniques, supply chain management, and customer preferences while maintaining her day job in marketing. This apprenticeship revealed that her true opportunity wasn't in retail, but in supplying premium Guatemalan coffee to boutique hotels and upscale grocers. This strategy requires setting aside ego, something many aspiring entrepreneurs struggle with. Yassel had to overcome her resistance to taking what seemed like a step down from her marketing career to work service shifts. Yet this humility provided invaluable hands-on education without financial risk. The approach follows four critical principles. 1. Only celebrate money from customers, not loans or investments, which create false confidence. 2. Learn the business before spending money. Get paid to learn on someone else's equipment. 3. Be specific about your target market, rather than trying to sell to everyone. 4. Ensure your product is genuinely excellent. Make sure that damn coffee is damn good. This methodology inverts traditional business education. Rather than learning theory first and applying it later, you learn by doing while generating revenue or minimizing costs. The market becomes your professor, providing immediate feedback more valuable than any classroom instruction. The strategy also creates breathing room for iteration. Without debt payments looming, you can adjust your approach based on customer feedback. Yassel discovered her true business model wasn't operating a coffee shop, but supplying premium coffee to specific clients, a realization that might have come too late had she already invested in retail space. What skills could you develop while earning rather than spending? Where could you apprentice to learn your target industry from the inside? How might you test your concept with minimal financial commitment? These questions reveal opportunities to gain expertise while preserving capital, the hallmark of sustainable entrepreneurship. In today's connection economy, building an audience often precedes building a business. By positioning yourself as a teacher and community builder rather than a salesperson, you create trust and authority that naturally attracts customers. Chad's antique map business exemplifies this principle. Rather than immediately opening an expensive retail store, he hosted salon-style gatherings that brought together history enthusiasts and potential buyers. By sharing his knowledge about cartography and elegant settings, he established himself as an expert while creating a community around his passion. These events generated sales without the overhead of a traditional storefront. This approach embodies three key insights. First, he who teaches sells. When you generously share knowledge rather than aggressively pushing products, you build trust and position yourself as an authority. Your expertise becomes your most powerful marketing tool. Second, community creates customers. By bringing together people with shared interests, you create an environment where sales occur naturally as a byproduct of connection, rather than through high-pressure tactics. Third, reject binary thinking about business outcomes. Chad didn't face a simple choice between keeping his law career or becoming a map dealer. By starting small and building incrementally, he created a prestigious side business that complemented his professional identity. This methodology requires redefining expertise. As Chad explains to Matt, expertise isn't about formal credentials, but about publicly sharing knowledge and solving problems. Most people remain stuck thinking they need more qualifications when what they really need is to start taking action and helping others. The approach also demands vulnerability, a willingness to go public with your knowledge before you feel completely ready. By sharing what you know now, rather than waiting until you know everything, you create opportunities for those who need your current level of expertise to find you. How might you begin teaching what you already know? What community could you convene around shared interests? What expertise could you share today, even as you continue learning? The answers reveal your path to building an audience that eventually becomes your customer base. Traditional business thinking emphasizes return on investment, ROI, measuring financial outcomes against capital deployed. Third shift entrepreneurship introduces a different metric, return on initiative, ROI, the opportunities, connections, and insights generated through proactive action. This principle explains why some entrepreneurs seem lucky. They consistently create circumstances where good things happen by initiating conversations, relationships, and projects that allow others to co-author the outcome. Their success appears mysterious to observers who don't see the numerous small actions that preceded their overnight breakthroughs. Matt experiences this phenomenon when Cedric pushes him to contact the CFO of Cook County Forest Preserve District immediately, rather than postponing action. This single initiative, making a call most people would delay, leads to a climbing date, a new friendship, and eventually a business partnership that transforms Matt's career trajectory. The principle operates through several mechanisms. First, initiative creates serendipity. By putting yourself in motion, reaching out, showing up, sharing ideas, you create circumstances where fortunate connections become possible. You can't control exactly what opportunities emerge, but you can ensure your position to encounter them. Second, action generates clarity. Often we believe we need perfect clarity before acting, but the reverse is true. Clarity emerges from action. Matt didn't have a fully formed business concept when he contacted Corey, but their interaction helped crystallize his thinking. Third, momentum builds confidence. Each small success, a returned call, a positive meeting, a new connection, builds self-efficacy that makes subsequent actions easier. The entrepreneur's journey becomes self-reinforcing as initiative creates results that inspire more initiative. This approach requires operating with urgency by breaking tasks into specific, immediate actions rather than broad to-dos. Instead of research potential clients, the third shift entrepreneur identifies specific individuals to contact today. What conversation could you initiate today that might create unexpected opportunities? What action have you been postponing that, if taken immediately, might generate momentum? The answers reveal where your initiative could yield disproportionate returns. In today's economy, sustainable success comes not from competing directly with established players, but from creating a monopoly of one, a unique value proposition that others cannot easily replicate. This monopoly advantage emerges from your distinctive combination of personality, network, experiences, and passions. While none of these elements alone may be unique, their specific combination creates an offering only you can provide. As Sparky explains in his podcast, great artists create their own style, while average business people do business the way school taught them. Matt initially struggles with this concept, feeling neither his finance background nor outdoor interests seem particularly original. Yet by combining these elements, creating networking experiences for finance professionals centered around outdoor activities, he develops an offering without direct competition. This principle challenges conventional business thinking in several ways. First, it redefines competitive advantage. Rather than competing on price, features, or marketing budget, you compete based on authenticity and unique perspective. This levels the playing field between startups and established companies. Second, it transforms perceived weaknesses into strengths. Elements of your background that seem irrelevant or even disadvantageous in traditional settings, unusual combinations of experience, non-linear career paths, diverse interests, become differentiating factors in your entrepreneurial identity. Third, it encourages integration rather than compartmentalization. Many professionals keep their various interests separate, believing their passion for art, sports, or social causes should remain distinct from their serious work. The monopoly advantage comes from intentionally combining these elements. The approach requires honest self-assessment. What unique perspectives do you bring from your background? What unusual combinations of skills have you developed? What problems do you see differently because of your specific experiences? The answers reveal the building blocks of your monopoly advantage. Remember that your monopoly advantage may not be immediately obvious. Matt needed others to help him recognize how his finance expertise, military background, and passion for outdoor activities could combine into a distinctive offering. Sometimes our closest friends and collaborators see our unique value more clearly than we do ourselves. In traditional career paths, credentials precede opportunity. You get degrees, certifications, and experience before accessing certain roles. Entrepreneurship inverts this sequence. Action precedes credentials, and doing becomes your most powerful qualification. Alberno's apocalypse experience demonstrates this principle perfectly. Rather than pursuing formal theater training or investing in an expensive commercial space, he created an immersive theatrical adventure in his garage. By starting small with minimal investment, $3,400, he generated both revenue, $9,200 in 3 months, and expertise through direct market interaction. This approach challenges conventional wisdom about expertise in several ways. First, it recognizes that expertise comes from solving problems, not accumulating knowledge. Customers don't care about your qualifications. They care whether you can address their needs effectively. Your ability to deliver results becomes your most compelling credential. Second, it embraces iteration as the path to mastery. By launching quickly with a minimal viable product, you receive immediate feedback that accelerates your learning curve. Each customer interaction becomes an opportunity to refine your offering and deepen your expertise. Third, it acknowledges that customers help co-create the ultimate solution. Rather than perfecting your product in isolation, you involve customers in its evolution. Their feedback, preferences, and usage patterns guide your development process more effectively than theoretical planning. This methodology requires overcoming the fear of being unqualified. Many aspiring entrepreneurs delay action while accumulating more credentials, reading more books, or attending more workshops. They fail to recognize that entrepreneurial qualification comes primarily through demonstrated problem-solving rather than formal preparation. The approach also demands comfort with imperfection. Your initial offering won't be flawless, but launching an imperfect product that solves real value creates more value than endlessly refining a concept that never reaches customers. What problem could you start solving today, even without perfect preparation? How might you create a small-scale version of your business concept to generate both revenue and learning? The answers reveal your path to building expertise through action rather than credentials. Successful entrepreneurs maintain a delicate balance. They remain passionately committed to solving specific problems while staying flexible about how they solve them. This principle, falling in love with the problem, not the solution, enables adaptation in response to market feedback without losing core purpose. During the Third Shift Entrepreneurs meeting, Renau emphasizes this distinction when encouraging the group to think beyond improving content to disrupting formats entirely. He challenges them to reimagine how they might create a movie that gets everyone talking, not by making incrementally better films, but by fundamentally rethinking the format: 14-hour films, silent films, or iPhone shot productions. This principle operates through several mechanisms. First, it creates psychological space for pivoting. When entrepreneurs identify too closely with specific solutions, market feedback suggesting changes feels like personal rejection. By focusing on the problem they're solving, they can evaluate alternatives objectively without ego attachment. Second, it encourages continuous innovation. Rather than becoming complacent with initial success, problem-focused entrepreneurs constantly seek better approaches. They ask not just, is this working, but is there a fundamentally different way to solve this problem more effectively? Third, it clarifies decision-making. When faced with difficult choices, returning to the core problem provides direction. Options that better address the fundamental need take priority over those that merely refine existing approaches. This methodology requires genuine curiosity about the problem space. Entrepreneurs must develop deep empathy for those experiencing the challenge they aim to solve, understanding not just surface symptoms, but underlying needs and contexts. The approach also demands intellectual honesty, a willingness to abandon even beloved solutions when evidence suggests better alternatives. This requires separating your identity as an entrepreneur from specific implementations of your vision. What problem are you truly committed to solving? How might you address that challenge in fundamentally different ways? What assumptions about your solution could you question or reimagine? The answers reveal opportunities for disruptive innovation that competitors might overlook. The myth of the lone genius entrepreneur has caused immeasurable harm by suggesting that true visionaries succeed through solitary brilliance. Third Shift entrepreneurship embraces the opposite truth. Sustainable success requires building a robust support ecosystem of mentors, partners, customers, and collaborators. Matt's journey illustrates this principle beautifully. His transformation from corporate discontent to successful entrepreneur occurs not through isolated effort, but through connections with the Third Shift Entrepreneurs Group, partnership with Corey, support from his wife Sabina, and unexpected mentorship from his boss Saul. Each relationship provides different forms of capital, knowledge, connections, emotional support, and eventually financial backing. This approach recognizes several crucial realities. First, diverse perspectives dramatically expand creative possibilities. When Matt and Corey brainstorm with Jesse and Sabina, they generate 10 potential business ideas, ranging from expanding their climbing group to starting niche financial services. This collaborative ideation produces options neither would have conceived individually. Second, supporters often emerge from unexpected places. Matt initially resists Sabina's suggestion to discuss his ideas with his boss Saul, fearing disapproval or competition. Instead, Saul offers to incubate Matt's business within his firm and provides $100,000 in seed funding, support Matt would never have received without vulnerability. Third, mentorship creates multi-generational impact. Saul reveals he's paying forward help he once received by investing in Matt's venture, asking only that Matt continue this cycle by supporting others in the future. This creates a legacy extending beyond individual success to systemic change. This ecosystem approach requires genuine openness to help, something many entrepreneurs struggle with due to pride or fear of appearing incompetent. Yet requesting assistance often strengthens rather than weakens relationships, as people generally enjoy contributing to others' success. The methodology also demands reciprocity. Entrepreneurs must consider not just what they need, but what value they can provide to those supporting them. This creates sustainable relationships rather than transactional exchanges. Who might support your entrepreneurial journey if you were brave enough to share your vision? What diverse perspectives could enhance your thinking? How might you create opportunities for others to contribute meaningfully to your success? The answers reveal potential allies currently waiting in the wings of your life. The entrepreneurial path isn't marked by a single dramatic breakthrough, but by an accumulation of small wins that eventually create significant impact. Third Shift Entrepreneurship embraces this reality by celebrating incremental progress while maintaining long-term vision. Matt and Corey's journey exemplifies this progression. They begin with a small networking group of two members meeting at a climbing gym, a modest start requiring minimal investment. 6 months later, the Climbers has grown to 22 members meeting bi-weekly, and they've formalized their business as Carney & Schneider. 3 years after launch, they've achieved substantial success while maintaining work-life balance, with Matt welcoming his daughter Ella into the world. This gradual evolution demonstrates several key principles. First, focus on acquiring customers one at a time. Your first customer deserves complete attention, then your second, then your third. Each success builds credibility that makes subsequent acquisitions slightly easier, creating a positive feedback loop of growing momentum. Second, patience often yields superior outcomes. Fellow entrepreneur Cedric shares how nearly purchasing the wrong property would have derailed his retreat center business. By waiting for the right opportunity, even delaying launch by a year, he secured a superior location that positioned his venture for sustainable success. Third, entrepreneurial growth enhances rather than diminishes personal fulfillment. Matt's professional development parallels his personal growth, with his renewed sense of purpose improving his relationship with Sabina and eventually leading to their decision to start a family. Success isn't measured solely by business metrics, but by overall life satisfaction. This methodology requires redefining success beyond traditional vanity metrics like funding rounds or rapid scaling. Small, sustainable wins that build toward long-term impact take precedence over flashy but unstable growth. The approach also demands celebrating progress rather than fixating on distance from ultimate goals. Each milestone, first customer, first revenue, first hire, deserves recognition as evidence of forward momentum rather than dismissal as insufficient achievement. What small win could you achieve this week that would move your entrepreneurial journey forward? How might you build sustainable momentum through incremental progress? What would success look like if measured in both business and personal fulfillment? The answers reveal your next steps toward meaningful impact. In the end, Third Shift Entrepreneurship isn't just about building businesses. It's about building lives of purpose, impact, and fulfillment. By starting small, staying focused on solving meaningful problems, and building supportive communities, anyone can begin their entrepreneurial journey without risking financial stability. The question isn't whether you have what it takes to be an entrepreneur, but whether you're willing to use your margins, those precious hours most people waste, to build something that matters. What will you do with your third shift?